Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and I'm going to go to our guest line and talk to Mr. Ben Cook. He's a chartered financial analyst, portfolio manager at Hennessy Funds. Mr. Cook is also a member of the investment committee with BP Capital Fund Advisors, which serves as a sub-advisor to the Hennessy BP Funds. He manages the Hennessy BP Midstream Fund and the Hennessy BP Energy Fund. Mr. Cook, welcome back to Market Wrap and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Mo. It's good to be with you again.
Ben, let's start with the energy. The energy started this year with a huge surge to the upside. Was it too much too fast, or is it sustainable?
Well, we think the move we've seen thus far in 2021 is sustainable, and there's a couple reasons for that. We see additional stimulus in the form of infrastructure spending or direct transfer payments to those impacted by the pandemic. Ultimately, will inject a significant amount of capital into the economy, and that should provide for a very strong GDP growth over the next four quarters. And we're seeing on the demand, so that's favorable on the demand side. And then on the supply side, we're seeing a very strong resolve by OPEC to keep crude oil volumes limited as we continue to work our way out of the pandemic. And I should say as well, here in the U.S., we're seeing a very strong signal of capital discipline, implying that any increase in crude oil prices won't quickly translate to drilling activity and future volume growth from U.S. producers. So, the drivers we see for demand and supply are both very favorable for continued support and strength in the crude market for the rest of the year.
What about the renewed lockdowns that we've seen in Europe? And as this virus continues to spiral right now until we get to the vaccine stage where we have enough people vaccinated, you have recently suggested that renewed lockdowns could bode well for global growth, which should drive energy demand higher. Can you explain that, how that would work?
Yeah, the suggestion that lockdowns are good for demand is probably worthy of some discussion. Look, what we've seen thus far is we've seen lockdowns and a response by on a global basis, governments responding by injecting liquidity. In the case of monetary authorities, we've seen fiscal stimulus spending, direct transfers of payments to individuals. And, though we're seeing spiking cases across Europe, and we've seen renewed lockdowns in places like Germany and other European countries, we think that is an impetus or will prompt additional stimulus. And as I mentioned, we're going to see pretty strong growth as we see vaccination and we see herd immunity numbers start to imply a diminished impact of the pandemic on the economy here and abroad as those dollars that were injected into the economy, into consumers' hands. Ultimately, when we do awaken, if you will, from this pandemic, there will be a significant rebound in consumer activity. And so that's why we think the stimulus that we're seeing now ultimately will translate to growth this year, and ultimately that will mean better things for energy demand, including oil, natural gas, and renewables for that matter.
You've stated recently also that the energy transition is underway from fossil to clean energy and should accelerate under the Biden presidency. How will that impact the old energy, as I would call it? And can you explain how that will accelerate and what impact it could have on oil and gas?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. And I think most are aware of Biden's President-elect Biden's platform and what it means for continued proliferation of renewable energy as a source of whether it's power, electric power here in the U.S. Measures to reduce the use of carbon-intensive fuels. That's also part of his platform. I think your question is twofold there. Our view is that the stimulative impact that we see from spending and the activity associated with infrastructure build out that will come with an infrastructure stimulus package ultimately will prove well for traditional energy, hydrocarbons, oil, natural gas, et cetera. But obviously you're going to have, an increased use of renewable energy as well, as we recently saw renewable production tax credit extended. We saw an investment tax credit extended. It's very likely that as part of the Biden platform and ultimately the policy that gets implemented, we'll see subsidies for hydrogen, for storage technologies, and for other emerging renewable technologies as well. I think we have to go back to the broader picture, which is very positive for economic growth. And in an environment where you're growing an economy at potentially 5 to 6% on a year-over-year basis, we haven't grown in that pace for probably 30 some odd years. And in that environment, we're going to need all the sources of energy that we can tap into. And so we believe that, to answer your original question, what does this mean for traditional energy? We think, both traditional energy and renewable energy can coexist in an environment where there's a growing appetite. And that's true here in the United States as well as abroad.
What about all these countries that are mandating that we only have electric vehicles and go away from gasoline-powered vehicles? They're saying by 2035, but China is trying to bring that number to 50% by 2025. Could that have an impact in the short term? Long term, we're talking 10, 15 years, who knows what's going to happen. But in the short term, if we see an acceleration towards electric vehicles rather than the gasoline-powered vehicles, how could that impact the energy sector in the next two or three years?
Yeah, on a short-term basis, again, I think much of the demand picture depends really on the emergence from what we're experiencing now from the pandemic and the demand response that comes with the normalization of economic activity. And that has to do with an improvement in transportation. Jet fuel demand will benefit. Gasoline, diesel demand will all benefit. So in the short run, we see a tailwind behind traditional hydrocarbon transportation fuels. As it relates to, the electric vehicle outlook, we do believe that the penetration rate, the market share, if you will, of EVs will continue to expand. It was about 2% last year. That will increase this year, and it will continue to increase, and it will have implications for liquid transportation fuels, gasoline and diesel. And, but if you put some numbers to it, Mo, by our estimate, and we've looked at a number of different agency forecasts, we believe that probably over the next 5 years or so, we will see no more than 1.5 million barrels a day of crude oil demand eliminated from the global oil demand picture. And for a market that is a pre-pandemic global appetite for crude on the order of 100 to 101 million barrels a day, when you think in aggregate terms and cumulative terms, leading up to say the next 5 years, 1.5 million barrels is not significant enough really to tip the balance and pressure crude oil prices meaningfully. So over the near term, we don't expect a significant impact or weight on the price of crude given displaced demand associated with EV vehicles. Now, over the longer term, it's a much different story, and those the targets associated with long term outlooks can be debated. But over the near term, I think safe to say that we don't see a significant impact on crude oil demand with EV vehicles.
Ben, where do you see the best opportunities right now in the energy market? What are you looking at? What does look good to you? Is it the large Exxon, Chevron companies like those, or much more those are a lot diversified, or something that's not as diversified? And how about some of the European energy companies?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mo. As part of our repeatable investment process and managing the Hennessy BP Energy Fund and Hennessy BP Energy Midstream Fund, I should say, we do look at the entire value chain. That includes integrateds, the upstream sector, those are the producers, the midstream pipelines, downstream refining, and we actually look at end users and we look at materials and renewables as well. So there's quite a variety of ways to put money to work. And we're seeing very attractive valuations continuing, within the midstream space. And obviously midstream over the years has had a difficult time as, number of issues associated with corporate governance, with the partnership structure had to be dealt with. And ultimately a distribution volatility, dividend cuts, those were an issue. And then of course the pandemic that presented a challenge for many of the midstream stocks. But you know, it's interesting, after having repaired balance sheets, the combination of stable to generally rising production volumes here in the U.S. and a fairly stable commodity price environment, with the exception of the recent pandemic impact on crude and natural gas prices. Now, these companies were heading into 2020 with a very good footing, well prepared for growth and importantly, return of capital to shareholders. And you know what happened was with the pandemic, obviously a significant pricing dislocation across the energy value chain for many energy equities. But again, the midstream space is a very important part of the U.S. and North America's energy infrastructure footprint that ultimately is required to deliver crude oil, natural gas, and liquids to end users. And interestingly, even though the group is up, 15-16% year to date, we're still trading at valuations that are at, relatively meaningful discounts to historical averages, on the order of 1.5 to 2 times on an enterprise value to EBITDA basis. And so with dividend yields trading, with the current equity values where they're trading, dividend yields anywhere from 7.5 to 10% in some of the higher quality midstream companies, who, by the way, are also investment grade quality. We think there's attractive value and income payout potential for many of these companies. So we like the midstream space right here.
What is your outlook for the oil prices? We're at $52 a barrel, plus or minus. And can we hold up at this level in the oil market with all of the, in the short term, lockdowns and all of that? Or do we get the stimulus and everybody goes out and starts spending? When we're at $53 a barrel, that's a pretty steep price for demand where it is right now. Or do you think OPEC has cut enough and Saudi's just cut back by another million barrels a day? That is enough to keep the market in balance for the short term until we get to the reopen and then the demand picks up again.
Yeah, so Mo, our view is that oil can hold the $50 level here, and much of the strength we've seen year to date is a result of the Saudi surprise cut of a million barrels a day, which will be implemented in February and March. I think that demonstrates their resolve to maintain a balance in the market and provide support to the crude price. Obviously, they're working with a need to have a much higher price in order to balance their social budgets. And so they would actually like to see much higher pricing. But in the near term, to your point, I think demand is a question mark. And, we're going to see spending increase with an infrastructure bill, the likelihood of additional stimulus. As we deal with the pandemic here and abroad, that will probably keep a lid on prices here over the next couple quarters in the 50 to 55 range. But if we do emerge from this pandemic and we have widespread vaccination and either herd immunity, which allows the consumer to go out and spend and travel and revert back to a sense of normalcy in terms of economic behavior, well, we're going to see crude oil demand pick up dramatically. And in that environment, OPEC is going to need to produce every barrel that they're capable of producing. And the industry here in the United States, having contracted meaningfully over the last, 8 months, our industry will be called upon to respond as well. And I'm not so sure, given the exit of, several hundred thousand employees and a significant capital that's vacated the industry, I'm not so sure we'll be able to respond to the pricing in a fashion that we have been in the past. And that that suggests that we're going to need much higher prices to increase the capacity to produce more oil going forward. So we're very optimistic that prices will hold 50 here. And then, in the back half of 21 and into 22, as we get back to pre-pandemic levels of oil consumption, we could see much higher pricing into the 60s and possibly even the 70s.
Mr. Cook, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on Market Wrap.
Very good. Glad to be with you, Mo.
That's Mr. Ben Cook, his portfolio manager at Hennessy Funds. I'm going to take a short break and we'll be right back.